You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
We're going on. I'm going
Good
on
Good morning,
right
everyone.
Now.
Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, November 6th. Welcome to the show. We're live once again. And we have, sorry for starting a little late, but LA traffic sometimes gets in the way of people getting here. But we have a couple of great guests coming up. One of them is here. The other one's on her way. So we're going to get started and then continue. And then another person's going to call in a little bit and join us on the phone. So we're welcoming to the show, Alexis. Is it Iacono?
I love you. Yes, that's the real, that's the Italiano way, but I'm going to Americanize it. It's Iacono, but yeah, it is Iacono.
Iacono, okay.
Uh-huh.
Sounds good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Of
this is
course.
Us. Alex is on her way.
Yeah. Well, you managed to get here on time, which I appreciate, you know, but sometimes these things happen, you know. I mean, I'm not offended or anything by that, you know. It just happens.
Well, you should be. We did it on purpose. Well, you know, with the 101, the 405, and it's that SNL. Yeah. Joe, my goodness, she's here. Hello. She's a rock star.
Alex is here, which is fine. Alex, just relax a little bit. Calm down. You'll be fine.
Thank you. You're so sweet. Oh, my God.
Hi, friend.
The construction.
I know.
Coming out of Hollywood. My phone didn't tell me about any of this.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It's just
And then you get to the construction in the building, which totally throws you off.
Oh, my God. Right? I was like, where do I go?
Listen to the mic.
Oh, my God. Oh, sorry. Oh, my God.
It's okay. And so you're Alex Esso, is that how you pronounce it?
That is, yeah.
Okay, well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Sure. So I want to introduce both ladies. They're part of a movie called Carnal Soul, and we're going to talk about that quite a bit. It sounds like a fascinating movie. I didn't get a chance to see it, but we're going to find out all about it with the listeners as well. And then we're going to have another star of the film calling in at about 10:30, so and that would be Bob Gunton, right?
Correct.
Okay, so I got all the names right, and we're gonna get started. Okay, so let's find a little bit about you guys, so we know who we're talking to and everything. So, Alexis, are you an LA native, or were you born somewhere else?
Absolutely not. I'm a nice Italian girl from Bayside, Queens.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm a born, raised New Yorker. I mean, I'm a mutt. I'm more than just Italian. Spanish. I'm Benetton ad. Spanish, Italian, Dutch, and Irish. Mom grew up in Brownsville, East New York, and my father grew up on the Lower East Side.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what, do you have any siblings? What would you?
I don't. I'm a lone wolf.
Wow, sounds good. So you got all the attention.
Total Sigma.
Yeah, no, but not attention. I grew up, I guess, independent.
You're right.
Yeah, my father.
Were the expectations high from you?
No. My family, I mean, we traveled a lot. I like to brag about everyone else except for me. My father he's alive. He was a prolific sports photographer for Sports Illustrated magazine for over 40 years.
Really?
So he covered the best of events around the world, from World Series to, you know, the Olympics. And I had the pleasure to assist him and travel with him with my mom. So when he went to Spain, we went to Spain. You know, when we went to England, you know, I waved to the Queen at Buckingham Palace from outside the gate, you know.
Right.
So it's like all these. I had a very eclectic, a very different world, and I always had a different outlook.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's where Alex and I get along so well. So she'll tell you where she came from.
Alex, so where are you from originally?
So originally, I was born in Dahran, Saudi Arabia. And,
oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, what a story. Okay.
I lived there until I was like 12. And then,
what were your parents doing there?
Well, my dad actually went over as a school teacher. Mm-hmm. The Aramco is like the oil company there. And so they hired him to come and teach the kids of all the expats that lived on the compound where we lived.
I see.
Yeah.
And are you an only child too, or do you have
siblings?
I'm not.
I do. I have a younger brother.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like very close in age.
Really?
Yeah, he's like my best friend. He's
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's always nice to be close to your siblings, you know?
Yeah, it's important, I think.
Yeah. With mine, it's like we were very close, and then you know, you get married and people get distant and stuff, and it's like, why, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
So, so you, and, so 12 years old, is that where you left?
Yes.
Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, we left, right before my 12th birthday.
Okay.
And we moved to Canada, where my mom is from.
Oh, okay. Where in Canada?
This suburb of Toronto, it's called Oakville.
Okay.
And then we moved to Stratford, Ontario, where they have that Stratford Theater Festival every year, which was kind of cool.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
And, so did you have any environment that has to do with film at all? I mean, how
Very
did you
much.
Get into it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So my mom was a stage actress,
mm-hmm.
and I grew up in the theater with her, like going to all her rehearsals and
really?
Stuff. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I started my first role ever was young Cosette in Les Mis. I was like the understudy for Cosette. I was like six. I was so excited.
Really?
Oh my gosh. I got to sing the song and sweep the floor and, you know, I had the best time.
That's quite a heavy story for a six-year-old.
It is, yeah. I'm like, French Revolution. What's that?
Yeah.
I'm just a little cinder girl.
Yeah.
And my dad, so after my brother and I were born, my dad got a job doing communications for Aramco mm-hmm. instead, which involved, like, doing all of their corporate videos, public service announcements. So he worked in a film studio every day, and I loved going to work with him.
Wow, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
It would be nice.
It was cool, yeah.
Yeah. And Alexis, how did you get into film? Was there, like, a desire early on for you too?
Believe it or not, I mean, yes, there's the yes side to it, but my first commercial was at 10 months old. I was the baby Gerber, the Ralstein baby food. I was born with a full head of hair, and I looked Native American Indian, and we lived across the street from a manager, and the manager's like, to my mom, Nancy, she's like, your daughter has a full head of hair. Can I submit her to something? And lo and behold, there I am in a papoose.
Yeah.
And I didn't know until recently that that I treated my parents to Hawaii with the paycheck. So I was seeing photos of me in like a hula skirt with
that's
like diapers
funny.
Sticking out. I'm like, wow, that's really cute. They're like, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that was really nice of you, Alexis.
But then, you know, I was that person that, you know, not one tap class, but two. Mm-hmm. My parents were not stage parents. And it acting classes, Lee Strasberg, and I did have my breakthrough at the age of 10. I wound up playing Faye Ray, the screaming woman of King Kong. I played her life story as a young girl on stage. And I not only did that, but she was also the director, and I knew her personally up until her death. Mm-hmm. And there is a documentary about that called Long Live the King, directed by Frank Dietz. Mm-hmm. And I'm there with, you know, Peter Jackson and everyone talking about how King Kong shaped their lives. And I was that one chick that was able to talk about the other side to that. And I tell my story.
Sounds good. Now, how long ago did you move to L.A.?
About 12 years ago, but I was always a bi-coastal chick. So I was always, you know.
So you'd been here before? You know what you were coming to?
Yeah. Oh, right. As soon as those wheels landed, I knew.
Yeah. Wow. And what about you, Alex? As far as going to Hollywood, what was the story there for you?
So first I fast-tracked through high school because I just really hated school. I just wanted to get at it. It was such an institution.
Right.
So I started taking like on-camera acting classes and stuff when I was like 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I left high school, I traveled for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I started modeling, which I hated, but it was possible for me to travel doing that job. So
right.
It was like, you know, a deal with the devil, so to speak.
Right.
And so then when I was like 18, I kind of dropped everything in Toronto where I was living and moved to Vancouver to study acting more formally.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And I made it my business to study every acting technique that I could find that I could get my hands on.
Right.
And then after that, I was in a theater collective for a little bit, did some short films and things like that. And then just moved to Albuquerque, where I booked a job, and I used that money to buy a car and drive to L.A.
Yeah, Albuquerque is not quite the destination.
No, no, it's in between.
Yeah. Sounds good. Now, how did you guys know each other before the film?
Yes,
that's before that you long made the time. Film? It's $1 million
really?
Question.
How?
We get that question all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's on repeat.
Yeah, how did you meet?
We met on a photo shoot for Fangoria like 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, I had just done my film debut, Starry Eyes. And you had done, it was for the Sid Haig film, is that what you were?
It was the Sid Haig film.
Yeah.
Captain Spaulding, who I thought was a captain on a boat because I knew nothing about
that's
horror.
That's so cute. Oh, my God.
So Alex and I were supposed to be with a few other girls, the next Scream Queens, so to speak, and you know, great title and stuff. But Alex and I looked at each other, we're like, I don't know about that. But the shoot was great, and yeah it was for Penny Dreadful Picture Show, and also I did a short film by Palin Quo called Prescott Place.
I see.
And it was a black and white. It was I play a fallen star that becomes a recluse and confides in her baby doll that looks like me. So I played two parts.
Oh, really?
So they put my face on the doll. It wound up catching wind. Fangoria fell in love with it. They did a spread. And Chris Alexander called me. He's like, you're going to hate me. I'm like, why? He's like, I'm telling you right now, as soon as I post this write-up, give you 2 months, the horror genre is going to knock on your door. Son of a bitch. Like clockwork. Yeah. And I got the call, and he's like, where are you? And I said, why? He's like, you have a photo shoot. And that's how I met Alex.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how did you find out about this?
About the photo shoot?
Yeah.
Oh, they Fangoria reached out to my manager.
Oh, and, I see.
Like,
okay.
It was all set up through that.
How do they find you? Like, do they go through
there's a database. No, well, it's more like, you know, Fangoria is, you know, a preeminent horror publication magazine. They've been around for decades.
Right.
And, you know, so they pay attention to the horror movies that come out and how they're received. And so, you know, Starry Eyes was well received and well reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they see that. They say, okay, who is her rep? They reach out to your rep and say, can we get her for this shoot? And the rep is like, yes, of course you can. And
wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And then you guys became friends since then?
Immediately.
Oh, immediately.
Really?
Yeah. We started talking about like John Cassavetes and that was it.
Yeah. Yep. Theater yeah, background, theater Cassavetes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As we're getting ready to do the reincarnation of the Slaughterhouse 2. What was it? Slaughterhouse? No.
Slaughterhouse 5? Oh, the Kurt Vonnegut?
Oh, no. No. What did we do?
Slumber Party
Slumber
Massacre.
Slumber Party Massacre.
That was the one that we did together.
That's
yeah.
how we bonded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah. I was like, Slaughterhouse 5?
Yeah, no, sorry. See, it goes to show. I mean, I'm living proof. I don't know what the heck I'm talking about with horror.
No.
Like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I love it, though. I love it. The fans, I will say this, and we'll go into something else, but the horror genre, the fans, they are very dedicated. So thank you, guys.
The fans are the best. They're so sweet. Yep. They're so devoted.
Really?
Oh, my God. Yes, they are. Oh, just the kindest. Kind of like metalheads. Like, they're just the sweetest, coolest, calmest, you know? Yeah. It's
Sounds
really
good.
It's a nice community.
Yeah. Well, you guys are fascinating, but I figure we better get to the film before Bob calls and we'll start, you know, setting it up and everything.
Of course.
So the film is Carnal Soul. Now, who is the one that came up with the idea to write the film?
That was me.
That was you.
Yeah, I wrote it in about an hour and a bit, an hour and a half, something like that.
Really?
I was waiting to get coverage on a different script that I wrote, and I was kind of anxious and pacing around, and then this idea just kind of occurred to me and made me laugh, and so I just sat down and wrote it to distract myself, and then I showed it to Alexis and she was like, well, let's just make this.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah.
So let's hear about the story. What was great about it?
So without giving too much away, because
it is a short film, right?
It is a short film, and it's structured like a joke. There's a setup and a punchline.
Oh, wow.
And so the setup is that we follow an elderly gentleman named Mort, the aptly named. And, you know, Mort is on a quest for atonement and redemption. Mm-hmm. And the film examines whether he really deserves it and whether he will get it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Get it from whom?
Exactly.
From Destiny.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. There is there is another character that he's seeking it from.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Okay.
And you acted the film, right?
No.
Oh, you don't.
No, she just produces it.
I produce her. Sorry. So going back to when we met from that time until now,
right.
Producing fell into my lap. So I wound up producing several things along the way throughout the years. And she caught wind of it. She knew, like, we were always in touch. Like, she was doing her thing. I was doing my thing.
Yeah. But Hold on just a second. Let me answer Bob.
Oh, yay!
Okay, so he doesn't wait. So he doesn't have to wait too long.
Sure.
Good morning, Bob. Is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Bob Gunton, thank you for calling in. We appreciate this.
You betcha.
Yeah, we knew you
hi,
could.
A-team.
Hey, hi. Guys. Hey, how's it going, man?
Well, I won't go into depth about that, but I'm fine.
Well, Bob, we just started talking about the film. We were getting a little bit of background on the ladies here. And let's a little bit about yourself. Well, we're not going to get into everything and stuff, but at what point in your life did you feel you wanted to get into film?
Well, when I found out that I could, I needed an adjunct to my theater income.
Mm-hmm.
I never expected to work in films when I got involved in theater, but it was kind of a natural progression, and I was fortunate enough to do a couple of things on Broadway that brought some attention, and off I went into the world of celluloid.
Yeah.
Very nice. And at what age did you start getting into theater?
Would you say that again?
Yeah. How old were you when you first got into theater? When did it become part of your life?
Yeah. Actually, I was in high school. I did a couple of operettas in high school long before I had ever seen anything live on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my introduction. I started out as a star on stage before I even know what live theater was like.
Yeah.
I got hooked.
Yeah. And where did you originally grow up? Were you here in L.A. or somewhere else?
Well, actually, I was born in Santa Monica.
Oh, wow.
Grew up in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
Went back east for seminary for a couple years. Got mm-hmm. drafted. Went to Vietnam. Came back. Did some theater in Tennessee. Went to New York. 20 years there. And then because of the film side, I relocated out to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I am back in the same county I lived first 18 years of my life.
Really? Wow. Sounds good. Well, not that many people grow up here, you know. It's like usually the stories, people move from small towns and things like that, you know.
Yeah, a lot of transplants.
So, for sure, you know. So how did Bob get...
When I was living in New York, I was also very snobbish, as many New Yorkers are, about moving out to the left coast. But there are things to be said in its favor.
Yeah. So how did Bob join the film? Were you casting the film? And
yeah, I mean, it was such a Hail Mary. It felt like such a long shot, but he was, you know, you were ideal casting, Bob. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to find the best way to get in touch with his reps. So I called a casting director friend of mine.
Right.
And I was like, hey, like, what's the best way to approach this? Like, how do I, you know, get it to a place where he might actually read the script? And she said, oh, we just cast him in something a couple months ago.
Uh-huh.
I'll reach out to his reps and make an introduction. I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
So I was really excited. And then I sent them the script. Mm-hmm. And his reps got back to me. Stop me if you want to add anything, Bob. His reps got back to me. And they were like, you know, thank you so much, but Bob is very busy and, you know, he's probably not going to have time. And I was like, totally cool. I was completely expecting that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, let's find somebody else. And then the day after that, they were like, wait, we made a mistake. This is a script that he likes. And he would,
They definitely made a mistake. I said, I got to do this.
Oh, my God. And
There wasn't even hesitation on my part.
Really?
Oh, my, yeah.
Well, what attracted you to the role, Bob?
Well, I think it was an incredibly written 12-minute kind of cinematic haiku. Mm-hmm. It just contained an entire life, actually two lives, mm-hmm. in that period of time. And also it was very emotional. I've heard the girls describe this as a comedy, and perhaps that's how it plays for some people.
Right.
But as soon as I read it, I saw it as this terrible, terrible tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking, well, you know, the best way to play comedy, if that's what it is to play it as if it were a tragedy.
Yes.
Right.
And
yes.
I think that's what maybe helps the ending pay off.
Completely.
Because for me, I mean, I was lobbying for the character. I always was,
mm-hmm.
even though he's kind of an a-hole.
Someone has to advocate for him, though.
Yeah.
I identify with anybody who has a lot of, not a lot of, but some serious regrets in their life.
Yes,
don't
me too.
Ask me about them because I'm not really talking about them.
Yeah. Don't we all have those regrets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just immediately felt an emotional attachment to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I said, you know, if I play this right, the payoff is going to be a big ba-dum-bum.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, Alex let that last moment play through, and a lot of things happened in that moment, and I was very, very pleased with how it all turned out.
Aww.
How I was directed. The production values were spectacular for a short film.
That's amazing.
And it's one of the things I'm most proud of.
What? Yeah.
Thank you, Bob.
Bob, thank you so much, man.
No.
That's incredibly touching, and wow. That means a lot to me, man. Thank you so much.
I want to give you a hug.
So sometimes you don't know things about the people you work with, you know,
and
what
yeah.
they think and stuff.
Oh,
know?
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Alexis, had you produced films before this?
I have. I just got off of producing John Cleese from Monty Python,
mm-hmm.
his hacker documentary.
Uh-huh.
Because he was hacked by the Daily Mail and Rupert Murdoch. And it was Graham Johnson who called me in the middle of COVID, above all things, from Byline Investigates. And he's like, John Cleese is going to call you. And I'm like,
wow.
Okay, sure, sure. And lo and behold, I hear about 2 weeks later a phone call. Hello, is Alex there? And I quietly jumped through the roof. He didn't see it. And then I became calm. I'm like, I can do this. I can do this.
Yeah.
And the best part was that we clicked immediately. And we went right into production. He's like, what do you need? What should we do? And I gathered everyone up together and, you know, from crew to everyone else. And we just made it happen. And people are often ask me, where can we see the documentary?
Right.
And so because John is such a prolific name, he said, let's just blast it all over the internet and see where it leads and lands. And it landed. Like we got a lot of people checking it out. And we are now at the point where we're interested in now streaming.
Mm-hmm.
We're at that point. We're working again together on another documentary that I'm very excited about. And that wasn't my first thing. I was associate producer on Nation's Fire with Bruce Dern, and a bunch of other projects. And it just sort of landed in my lap, producing. And I call it the trifecta because I also do a lot of video game voiceover work.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
so
interesting.
I was always a stage actress in New York City. I did all that, and there was something that was missing for me anyway.
Yeah.
A great David Mamet that I used to perform, you know, always filled my soul, but there was something missing, and I moved to Los Angeles, and the producing the video game voiceover world fell into my lap, and it just all fell into place.
Very nice.
Yes.
Now, Alex, when you wrote the film and everything,
mm-hmm.
Did you right away know that you wanted Alexis to produce the film?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We had talked a little bit before about possibly producing something, and I'm like, yeah, I have like a couple scripts. We did kind of location scout for a different short film that I had written.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, remember?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like
in Chatsworth.
2 years before,
yeah.
In Chatsworth, exactly.
Oh, I completely forgot about it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. There was like another film we were going to do, which now I'm developing as a feature. Mm-hmm. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, you know.
I'm a producer.
Hey,
hi.
Good.
Yeah.
Wow, small world.
Yeah.
Now, Bob, I imagine that a short film, I mean, we get a lot of short films here on the show. I imagine it's pretty difficult to tell a story in 12 minutes. Right, Bob?
Well, if the person writing the script is as wonderful as Alex is, it takes the curse off of it. It's just so full of lived life, mm-hmm. even though there's basically two sets,
mm-hmm. yeah.
two actors, and two characters. I mentioned it as a haiku. It has that kind of compression of jamming a whole lot of information and a whole lot of emotional information into right. that very brief period of time. Mm-hmm. And I recognized it immediately. And I'd never been offered a character like that who ends up being so broken. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I want to do that. I've done it on stage. I've never done it on film.
Yeah.
And so I lucked out.
Yeah. Very flattering for you guys.
It's extremely validating. Right? Oh, my God. Well, and I mean, you know, from my perspective, we're the ones that lucked out.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Being able to work with an actor of Bob's caliber. I mean, right. you know, and I've grown up watching him in so many what? Things. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it's just he's imprinted in my cinematic education.
Yes.
Really?
Oh,
what
yes.
What are a couple of the films that you like?
Well, I mean, we'll start with The Behemoth.
We're both saying.
Yeah.
Shawshank Redemption.
But I mean, you know, I don't know how Bob feels about this movie, but Ace Ventura 2 was one of my favorites growing up. I love that movie.
Too?
I saw it so many
cool.
times. Yeah, I mean, I like
Demolition Man.
Demolition Man, classic.
Yeah.
That movie is still really good.
Oh, I know.
It holds up very well. It has great rewatch value.
Yeah. Yeah. So Bob, quite a bit of work, different roles, different movies, different genres of films. What do you like comedy best, or you were in science fiction and drama and all that? What's the genre that you prefer to act in?
Well, I have played a number of genre. Mm-hmm. We used to use genre to mean films that only sci-fi nuts or shoot 'em up folks would want to see.
Right.
But you know, of all of them, I obviously Shawshank was great because it's a great story.
Right.
But I've had a lot of fun. Recently, I did Ghostbusters.
And yeah, you were great as Egon.
A dead man.
Is that the latest one?
And a wonderful. Pardon me?
The latest Ghostbusters, the newest one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With the freezing and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that was a challenge on a whole different level
mm-hmm.
To assume the form and the emotional background of that character.
Mm-hmm.
And with all of the love that he has among all the fans of Ghostbusters and others, it was actually a very tough thing because playing that character was wordless, you know, because he is coming back from the dead,
right?
And it all had to be done with eyes and expression, and a mm-hmm. very, very emotional ending too.
Oh, yeah.
So that was, you know, I like things that have kind of a technical challenge to them.
Yeah.
And I've done a number of those. But I like it all.
Sounds good. Now, you guys, if people want to see the film, I know usually short films are like in festivals and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the film available to the... to the audience,
not
the general
yet.
Public?
It will be soon. It'll be up on our YouTube page in a few months. We just have a few more film festivals. Yeah, we have a few more festivals that we have to honor. Yeah, before we can release it to the public.
Right. Did you get any awards yet?
Yes, actually,
really?
Bob got an award for best actor at the Dubai International Independent Film Festival.
Congratulations! That's amazing.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Oh yeah, we're very proud.
Yeah,
I'm sorry I didn't get the show up to receive it. I mean,
yeah, that would have been great if we all could have gone to Dubai.
Well, that's our goal for 2025. So hold tight, Bob.
Yes, exactly.
But we were selected at the Los Angeles, the LA International Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
We just finished the La Femme Film Festival. We were final selections for that. We found out during the festival that we're final selection for Tokyo,
mm-hmm.
Montreal.
We were final selection for Montreal.
Yeah.
And the Tokyo Independent Film Festival is still, they're still judging, but we're a semifinalist.
I see. Yeah. Were you in Holly Shorts too?
We didn't make that. No. I think that was the cutoff or
that
something.
We didn't make it in time for the cutoff, but we're going to submit for next year. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's cool.
I know it's... It was what, last month or something, right?
It was a couple months ago. July or August.
It was right after the Los Angeles International Film Festival.
Yeah, it was right after LA Shorts.
We were doing so much prep and press for that. Like, people were like, Holly Shorts. Wow, shit, we missed it.
Yeah, totally.
That's okay, next time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What's in store for you guys? Do you have anything that you're cooking for the future?
Oh my gosh.
Tell us about?
That we can tell you about.
I can gently say that Alex and I were approached to work on a project together, and so we're working with a team right now, and we're in development.
Yeah,
very nice.
For a feature.
Yep.
Very nice. And what about you, Bob? Still keeping busy?
Relatively so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a dry period.
Yes.
At least for a 78-year-old man.
it's dry everywhere.
Yeah.
But I've been doing, for instance, a podcast that is actually a narrative, ongoing series called Big Lie. And that's something I've never done before. So I'm still.
I can't wait to check that out.
Yeah.
Very nice. So quite a body of work for you, Bob. And, congratulations on still working at your age, you know. I mean, some people just kind of quit and give up, you know, but you keep going, which is always, I admire that in people. And, Bob, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We really appreciate this. I know you couldn't make it, but on the phone, at least we got to know you a little bit and your part in the film and... We thank you for that, Bob.
You betcha. And love and kisses to you.
Oh, Bob, we love you so much.
Love you.
Thank you so much for calling in. Oh, my God. It's so good to hear your voice, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
I was going to say, see you on Facebook.
Yeah.
We're Facebook friends.
Yeah,
that's how
exactly. Yeah.
So talking about that, how can people get a hold of you guys?
We have the Carnal Soul Instagram page,
okay.
At the Carnal Soul.
Yep.
Okay.
You can follow me, Alexis Iacono. I'll spell my last name, I-A-C-O-N, like a Nancy O, on Instagram. Not big on the other socials, kind of, sort of, but mostly Insta.
Right. Okay.
And I only have Instagram because I hate social media. but it's a necessary tool at this point. And so anyway, I'm on Instagram, at AlexSO. And I'm mostly posting memes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
and stuff
memes.
About the film. Yeah, mostly memes and stuff about the film.
Yeah,
and,
but people can contact you on Instagram, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. You can send me a message, you know? We'll see if I check them.
I will say this. Do not send her a message on Twitter. That's not her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really? Someone's impersonating me on Twitter.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Yeah, yeah. And they've reached out to like a few friends of mine. I just found out about this recently. Yeah, yep. To Alexis. And
that sucks, huh?
Yeah. I mean, they're being very nice to people at least. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's good. But but yeah, it's absolutely not me. I'm not on anything except Instagram.
Who would want to do that? Do you think it's somebody Fans. That you know?
No. People, no? It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially when you get into like real celebrities, like A-list celebrities, they have people, all kinds of people trying to impersonate them constantly. Yeah. Like even in the real world, like people who look like them will try to pretend. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wild.
Alex is being modest. She's like people. Fans. She's got fans. No. She's got fans.
I have a couple of fans, I guess. Yeah.
My
Amazing.
Dad is my fan.
Do either of you or both of you have any desire to act at all, or do you like it more
always
behind the scenes?
Oh, yeah. I'll always act. Yeah. It's my first love. I mean, directing is kind of feeds into all of that. You know, I definitely. There's a lot of things about directing that I love, but you know, to be honest, part of it is that I can write a role for myself that I'm actually excited to play. I can I can give myself something pithy to sink my teeth into. So,
yeah.
100%. No, yeah. I did a film, it's going to be about a year ago, but it takes forever to release. But yes, I love acting. I absolutely love it. But like I said, it's that trifecta. I mean, I just wrapped on a video game, another video game for Blizzard. Mm-hmm. For those that you may not know, it's like World of Warcraft and very high-end video games. So I was very excited to be part of that family again last month recording.
Wow, very nice.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm familiar with all that. In fact, I used to do some 3D animation for games when it first started, you know, like in the 90s and stuff.
Mm, yeah.
And that's an art that I learned on my own, you know, when it was just starting out, doing 3D animation and stuff, you know. So that was nice. And I got into games. I worked for Westwood Studios, which was a big deal at the time.
Oh, yeah. I know
they
them.
Did like Command and Conquer. And all
these things. Yeah. Oh, so you're talking to gamers. So
Yeah. They were in Vegas at the time, so I moved to Vegas to work with them there.
No way. That's cool. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's real cool.
Yeah, that's
real.
But it's cool that you do video games and stuff. It's amazing.
I would love to develop video games. I would love to be on like the directing, storytelling side of that. That would be so much fun.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk to you guys for hours, but we're out of time and I have a show that's coming up in about 10 minutes, a remote show that I have to attend to.
Okay.
And we still have to take some pictures and stuff. So
of course.
We'll just thank you both, Alexis and Alex.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us.
Of course. Thank you. And sorry about the parking situation here.
Oh,
but
it's all good.
You're welcome back anytime when you have the next film or something.
I would
absolutely
love to
let us
come
know.
Back.
Yeah.
Yes,
let
I would love
know.
To. Sure.
And because I like Deborah and she recommended you guys.
Oh, Deborah's
highly,
the best.
Deborah Gilels. Gosh,
darling.
I was awful. I called her Deborah Gills. I'm like, great. I named my publicist a fish. And I called her just before. I'm like, oh, forgive me. And she's like, it's Gilels. I'm like, oh. So thank you, Deborah. Thank you for this. You're amazing.
Yes. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
All right.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.